We're going to start Perek Yud Gimel. It's on page Yud Ches. What page at the bottom? 54 at the bottom. We're going to start 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines in the bottom. 10 lines in the bottom of 54 at the bottom, Yud Ches on top. The Alter Rebbe is explaining this Beinoni guy. Doesn't sin, not thought, not speech and action. The second something comes up, he right away gets rid of it. But he's not a tzaddik. And that's why the Gemara says, Zev is a shaft and both judge him. Meaning, both sides say their opinions. The Yetzer Tov says its opinion. Yetzer Hara says its opinion. But the halacha is like the third opinion, which is Hashem, that helps the Beinoni overcome the evil and that he doesn't actually sin and commit the crime. So now the question is, so why isn't he a tzaddik? Why isn't he a tzaddik? If he doesn't sin, not in thought, not in speech, not in action, then he should be a tzaddik. So he says like this, Ach me'acha sh'arasha b'chol ha'smol be'beinin. Yud Gimel. Page Yud Ches on top. Ach me'acha sh'arasha b'chol ha'smol be'beinin. But the fact that the evil on the left side by the beinin, who betok ve'kul todosa, is as strong as it was from birth, and as Alter Rebbe will say on the next page, not only is it as strong, it's stronger because they ate more and they drank more and they slept more. To all pleasures of this world, they have these temptations. And it didn't become nullified. And it didn't get pushed away at all. Meaning, the Beinoni's Nefesh Abamis is there in full steam. It didn't get pushed away. It didn't become weaker. But the only thing is that the Nefesh HaBamis does not have the strength and ability to spread itself out to influence the body to sin. Why not? Because Hashem is standing on the right side of the poor man, meaning of the godly soul. And it illuminates and shines to the Nefesh HaLikis. So the Alter Rebbe says like this, the Beinoni Nefesh HaBamis didn't budge a drop since it's born. Unlike the tzaddik that killed it or transformed it, the Beinoni's Nefesh HaBamis is exactly what it was the whole time. But when it comes to practical behavior, because the mind controls the heart, the person doesn't allow the Nefesh HaBamis to actually infiltrate the body to get it to sin. But level-wise, the Beinoni has a very strong Yetzer Hara. And therefore he says, L'chein nikra kirasha. Therefore the Beinoni is called kirasha, like a rasha. And now the Alter Rebbe answers a question that he asked on the first page of Tanya. On the first page of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe asked a contradiction. It said of one Gemara says that even if everybody tells you you're a tzaddik, hayei beinacha kirasha, you should be in your own eyes like a rasha. So the Alter Rebbe asked, number one, in Pirkei Avos it says, don't maintain yourself as a rasha. Al tehi rasha b'fnei atmach. And then the Alter Rebbe said, asks the question, what is the benefit of thinking you're a rasha? If you take it seriously, you become depressed. If you don't take it seriously, if you don't take it seriously, you come to lightheadedness. Like, what's the purpose? Now the Alter Rebbe is answering the question. When it says that even if everybody tells you you're a tzaddik, in your own eyes you should think you're kirasha. It doesn't say a rasha. It says like a rasha, meaning even if everybody tells you you're a tzaddik, think of yourself as a beinoni. Everybody's looking at you. You don't sin, not in thought, not in speech, not in action. So you might think you're a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, in your own eyes, you should feel yourself kirasha. And this is what he said now. L'chein nikra kirasha, k'may mirazalek chazal say, afilu kol ha'elam kulei emrim loch. Even if everybody tells you, tzaddik ata, you're a tzaddik, because they don't see you sinning at all and you're such a perfect Jew. Hayei beinecha kirasha. You shouldn't be maintain yourself as a rasha, because first of all, in Pirkei Avos it says no, and secondly, there's no purpose of thinking you're a rasha. But it means you should think that you're a beinoni. Al, what should he do? Sheyachzik atzmo lebeinoni. He should maintain himself that he, as if he's a beinoni. Le'lahamin le'ha'elam, and not believe the world. Sha'eminim that tell you sha'ra shabein is batal lagabi atev, that the ra is batal, subjugated to the good, which is madregas tzaddik. Now, don't believe what everybody tells you, you're a tzaddik. Aleyyeh ve'ein of kirosh ki'ilu, you should think, mehusei v'atzmusei shel ra, that the essence of the evil is betokvei u'begvorosei b'chol la'asman l'kutudosei, is as strong as it was from the beginning, v'leichol v'holach mimenu ma'um, and the nefesh ha'bamis never got even weaker. What's interesting is, the more you fight it, you might think it gets weaker, so it doesn't get weaker. The Adrab, on the contrary, the Alter Rebbe says, Nischazik Yeitze Behemshech Hazman. The Nefesh HaBamis even gets stronger. Why does it get stronger? Shenishtamish Beharbe Bachilo Ushtia, because you use it to eat and drink, Visharinyani Elam Hazan, and all the other temptations of the world. So therefore, this is what the Alter Rebbe is saying, that even if everybody tells you you're a tzaddik, Hayei Beinacho Kiroshim. And here the Alter Rebbe is saying a phenomenal concept. A beinoni in behavior is like a tzaddik, but level-wise, the beinoni is closer to the rasha than he is to the tzaddik. A rasha has a yetzer hara, nefesh habamis, the beinoni has a nefesh habamis. The tzaddik doesn't. Therefore, level-wise, the beinoni, the Alter Rebbe says, is close to the rasha. He's kirasha, like a rasha. Behavior-wise, then he's like a tzaddik. But the person is not their behavior. The person is the level of their seichel and midas, if they have only kedusha, or they have evil also.
It's not all about our actions?
Reward and punishment is all about our actions. Who we are, not to do with actions. In other words, if we're tzaddik, rasha beinoni, has nothing to do with actions. Because you can be a perfect Jew in action, a beinoni, and you're still like a Russian. And that's all he's supposed to be, by the way. The beinoni doesn't have to be a tzaddik. He can't be a tzaddik. Because to be a tzaddik, that you can kill the Yetzer Hara or transform it to Kedusha, you need to be born with that level. And that's why on the first page also, when the Alter Rebbe brought down, Eve said, Barasa tzaddikim, barasa rishayim, Eve said to God, you created tzaddikim, you created rishayim. So the Alter Rebbe asks, tzaddik v'rasha leikama, but that's up to us, it's not up to God. God doesn't create, whether we have free choice to be good or bad. So how could Eve say, Hashem, you created a tzaddik, you created a rasha? So the Alter Rebbe is going to answer soon, or in a little while, the Alter Rebbe is going to answer, there's nothing to do with free choice. But also tzaddikim means, God, you created people with the ability to be tzaddikim. But also the Hashem, you created beinonim and Hashem, that with the nefesh habamis. So to be able to kill the nefesh habamis, and definitely to transform it to kedusha, that you have to be born with that ability. A beinoni is not born with that ability. Huh? Dalt Rebbe in Perek Tezvov, and Yudalid, at the end of Yudalid, Dalt Rebbe will explain that if you fake it, until you make it. In other words, if Hashem sees the beinoni is really trying, he'll give him the neshama of a different tzaddik, the b'chinas ibur, in a pregnancy state, meaning an additional thing to him, that he could become at a certain level to Hitzad, but that's an additional gift that comes from Hashem.
It comes
later in life. I know, either later or earlier, but...
So,
but a person is not necessarily born with the ability to kill the Hitzad, and therefore it's not expected from him. What a person is expected not to do is not to be a Rasha. And that's why this is how the Alter Rebbe answers. Now everything in Tanya, by the way, from the first page makes sense. But the Alter Rebbe is going to say this later. The opening statement of Tanya is Be a tzaddik and not a rasha. Right? So the Al-Rebbe doesn't ask the question in time, but the Tzemach Tzedek asks the question in his explanation of Tanya, that Shavua is redundant. It's repeating itself. If you're a tzaddik, you're automatically not a rasha. So why do they make him swear, Tihi tzaddik, va'alti rasha? Tihi tzaddik means automatically, don't be a rasha. So the Al-Rebbe will explain later, Tihi tzaddik means you should try to be a tzaddik. Fake it. Try your best to do it. But at least, va'alti rasha, don't be a rasha, be a beinoni. But the goal of the person is to be tihi tzaddik. This is how Chassidus explains. It's a phenomenal concept. When you learn it from a Chassidic perspective, it makes so much sense that otherwise doesn't. In the whole story of the Meraglim, the spies, yeah? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach lecho anoshim. You send men. What did Rashi say? Shlach lecho ledaitecho. You want to send spies? No problem. Ani eina metzava esach. I'm not commanding you. Okay? So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, listen, guy. You want to send spies? No problem. I'm not telling you to do it. Yeah? Stop the thing for a minute. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not commanding you to do it. Why in the world is he doing it? What is Moshe Rabbeinu doing over here? Hashem says, I'm not commanding you to do it. And Hashem says no, so why is Moshe Rabbeinu saying yes? And Taka, what happened? The spies came back unsuccessful. Then there's the Haftarah of Shlach. Yeshua sends two spies to Yericho. According to one opinion, they actually conquered Yericho to a certain extent. So what's going on over here? These spies are good. These spies are bad. Hashem says to him, listen, you want to do it, do it. I'm not telling you to do it. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu doing it? So Chassidus explains, it's a phenomenal maimer of the Rebbe. The Rebbe explains like this. It's a very easy maimer. It's already in the Heritage Book series. Eretz Yisrael represents the seven nations of the seven Midas. Okay, that's conquering these evil Midas of the Nefesh HaBamis. When Mashiach comes, there's going to be three more nations, like the Torah calls them Keni, Kenith, and Kadmeini, which Chassidus explains represent the intellect of evil. Until Mashiach comes, they can only conquer the Midas of evil, not the seichel, not the intellect of evil. That only Mashiach will be able to do. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu like this. To conquer the seven midas of a person, meaning become the level of a tzaddik who kills the nefesh habamis, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I can't command you to do it, because something not every Jew has the potential to do, can I command? Hashem can't command us to eat tzaddik. You have to be a tzaddik if we can't. Right? I mean, it's ridiculous. It'd be totally ridiculous, so to speak, kaviyachol, for Hashem to demand something we can't do. Right? To conquer the nefesh habamis, to conquer the nefesh habamis and become a tzaddik, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I cannot command you to do it, because that's not in the goal of every single Jew. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu said, the Shavuah is still Tihi Tzaddik, try. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, granted, not every Jew could be a Tzaddik, but there's a Shavuah to try. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, I'm going to try. Because the Jew has to try to become a tzaddik. Tihi tzaddik, you should try to become a tzaddik. But it's not that the kindergarten game over here, Hashem says no, and Moshe Rabbeinu says yes. If Hashem says no, Moshe Rabbeinu says no. But Hashem says, I can't command you to do something you can't do. But nevertheless, you want to try it. You want to try tihi tzaddik. Try to conquer the nefesh habamis. Yeshua is a whole different story.
Despite
One second. Yeshua, Chassidus explains, sent to Yerichai. Don't ask me why it's not for now, but Yerichai comes from the word Reach, which is the concept of the garment of thought, speech, and action. The garment, the equivalent to thought, speech, and action. That every Jew could. And therefore Yeshua commanded the spies to go, because if you're talking about not the midos of the Nefesh HaBamis, not conquering the Nefesh HaBamis itself, you're talking about conquering thought, speech, and action, every Jew could be a Beinoni. That Hashem commands. So Yeshua told them not to go to Yerichai. Now the whole story makes sense. What?
The spying is conquering?
The spying is, can a chazak kula yirof? Is it? Can we do it or not? Let's try. And then in Indian, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I know Hashem, you can't command us to do it because not every Jew could do it, but we have to try. Let's see." But that's, he didn't go against Hashem. Hashem said, "I can't command you because if you can't necessarily do it, I can't command you."
So why then the punishment?
The punishment. What was the punishment?
They couldn't go in.
Yeah, what did they want? Not to go in.
Right.
When the spies came back, what did the Jews say? We can't go in. Yeah, it's too much. We can't go. So what did Hashem say? No problem. Stay here another 40 years. What the punishment is that?
What is this?
No, but I'm saying Hashem, the Jews said we don't want to go into Eretz, so we can't. So how did Hashem punish him? You know what? Good boys, you're going to stay in here for another 40 years until you die. So that's not enough. When you learn about the Meraglim, you learn about the Meraglim.
Rabbi, you said that we're not our actions, who are we? And even who are we then, but they're not?
Our intellect and our feelings. Okay, so he says now like this. Four lines from the top. Va'af mishir b'teirah says Hashem chefzei, even a person whose whole desire is the Torah of Hashem. And they learn diligently day and night. It means all they do are mitzvahs. He says, "Ein zehichach klal." It's not a proof at all. Shenidcha ramim came, that the evil was pushed away from its place. Don't think because you're diligent in Torah mitzvahs 24/7 that you weakened the nefesh habamis and pushed it away. Ela yacholias, it could be. Say that the essence of the Nefesh HaBamis, the Seichel Namidis, is betakveh b'gerasei b'mekeimeh b'chol asmali, is in its strength and might in the left side. But shalavush of the garments, which are machshava dibur amais of the Nefesh HaBamis, a mislapshim b'meach v'apeh, don't dress itself into the mind and the mouth and the hands, which is thought, speech, and action. V'sharei vari agufer, all the other organs. Why? Because Hashem gave the mind the ability to control the heart, so the mind can control the thought, speech, and action. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you budged or moved the Nefesh HaBamis itself. It could be just as strong as a wave. L'chein, therefore, because Hashem gives this kayach, Nefesh HaLekish HaBameach, therefore the godly soul, Meshel is Beir Ktana, Evari Aguf Kulam, controls the city, meaning in the action it's controlled by the godly soul, but the Nefesh HaBamis is still there. And therefore he's like a Rasha, and therefore he's only a Beinani, and that's it. Shelavushim Ekovah Shleshaluvushel, Shistapshu Behem, which dresses himself, meaning Machshava Dibur Amaisev Tayag Mitzvah Sateira, the thought, speech, and action of the Mitzvah Sateira, what dictates the body. But the essence of the Nefesh HaLekis, meaning the intellect and emotions, does not control the essence of the Nefesh HaBamis of the Beinoni. Only certain times. Now, the Rebbe is going to explain like this. When the Beinoni davens, if he davens properly, the Nefesh HaBamis goes to sleep. Nefesh HaBamis goes to sleep. It's sometimes comatose, but basically it goes to sleep. When the person finishes davening, it gets up as strong as it was before. Which means that the time when a person meditates into the greatness of Hashem, at that time, the Nefesh HaBamis temporarily is disabled, he goes to sleep. He says that a Beinoni could do. But he can't destroy it, he can't kill it, he could put it to sleep. Because at that time you're meditating into the greatness of Hashem, and your love to Hashem is so strong, like he said before, the more you love Hashem, the more you despise evil. So at the time of davening, the Beinoni is so involved in Avos Hashem, loving of Hashem, that the Yetzer goes to sleep. And by the way, the Rebbe is going to say, that's where Rabbi said he was a Beinoni. Remember at the first page, he said, Rabbi said he was a Beinoni. So the Abaye said, how could you say you're a Beinoni? Rabbi was really a tzaddik. Rabbi thought he was a Beinoni who davens a whole day. Meaning, his Nefesh HaBamis is sleeping 24-7. But the truth is, he didn't have it. He killed it. But out of modesty, Rabbi thought, my Yetzer Hara is there. I'm a Beinoni. But he's sleeping a whole day. What?
Well, if you're involved in mitzvahs and you feel, you know, the Yetzer Hara comes along and you subdue it, you know, and you overpower it, doesn't it weaken it?
Nope.
It doesn't weaken
it. No, that's the sad part.
I thought it
later on, Tanya, the Rebbe asked a very simple question. A Beinoni fights, never wins. Why in the world is he here? No, it is to fight, never win. And no, you're never going to win. The Rebbe says Hashem loves it.
He loves the fight.
He loves the fight. He loves... There's like... The Rebbe says there's sweet delicacies and there's bitter, sharp delicacies. But if somebody faints, you don't give them sugar to smell. You give them something sharp to smell. The Rebbe said later in time, this is the nachas ruach that Eibishter has. But by the way, just taking this concept, by the way, it says, first of all, in Sfarim, a remarkable thing. That what happens if somebody is dying to sin? If they want to really do something wrong. It says in Eitzah, to tell the Nefesh HaBamis, tell the Yetzer Hara, you know what? Give me 5 minutes and I'll let you sin. He said, last time. What happens? Either you're going to cool it down that you won't do it, or even if you do it, Hashem enjoys the fight. By the way, in a deeper sense over here also is like this. With all due respect to present company, none of us are Beinonim, none are even close. In case you didn't know. The only question is, what type of Rosh HaVetayv, like this level, that level, okay, like we learned before. Nevertheless, if a person fights evil and wins, it's a temporary Beinoni. Well, it's not a real Beinoni because a minute later he'll sin. But at that time that you win a fight, for that second you're a Beinoni. If a person could work with themselves, that for a given moment, for a second, they'll despise evil, at that second they're a tzaddik. Is it a real Beinoni? The Rebbe will explain later, it's not real. It's not, then this next page. It's not real, it's fake, it's not emes, because emes means eternal. But nevertheless, the Rebbe says, I call the Aved of a Beinoni real, because for that moment it's real, and he could always put it to sleep. So even though we're not tzaddikim, we're not beinonim, we're barely rishayim, what you could do is though, at a given moment, a person could become a beinoni. For that matter, at a given moment, for that second, you could be a tzaddik. If you despise evil. It's not a real beinoni, a real tzaddik, but it's something that could be.
What puts him to sleep? Our actions?
No, he says, Avos Hashem. He says,
just by loving and fearing God.
No, he says, one second. Kiyam b'shah, sha'avas Hashem b'zgalas libei b'itim b'zamanim. Only in time when Avos Hashem is revealed, like shas tfilo kriyetzi b'zam. When a person is meditating into the greatness of Hashem, who stimulates v'avtas Hashem alakecha b'chol levavcha, we're talking about not just saying the words. Actually living davening, so to speak. That you come to the level of loving Hashem, at that time, you're really not interested in sinning. For that moment, you don't want to sin.
Because many times people don't want to sin.
Right, so that moment, they're a Beinoni.
But you mean like
say you have a temptation for something like candy or something like that, and you don't give in to it.
She had better temptations than that, yeah?
Chocolate, whatever. You really want it, and you don't give in to it. So for the next time, isn't it any weaker?
I mean, is it weak? Does it get weaker?
I can train you, yet so
hard. So that has a different taiva.
Yeah, but if you have chocolates like alcoholics, you relapse.
The story of the Rebbe Rashab. Somebody once came to the Rebbe Rashab with a cat. And he said this cat was trained to be a real mensch.
Yeah.
Polite and everything. And the guy was bragging to the Rebbe Rashab about this cat. Now the Rebbe called over the Shamus and he whispered something in his ear. And a second, the guy smiled. He came back a second later with a mouse. And he put the mouse in front of the cat. And all of a sudden, all the manners died. And the cat was chasing the mouse. You know, knocking down things. You know, it's you could train a person to a certain extent. But a person has to try, really, to train themselves in meditating and davening of Avos Hashem. That eventually helps them in doing it. Now, when you say mitzvah, gereres mitzvah, by the way, what you said is not wrong. There's a concept, mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Mitzvah schleps another mitzvah. Avera schleps another mitzvah. Avera. Why is that? So Chassidus explained very simple. When you do a mitzvah, you become holier. Once you're holier, it's easier to become not do another mitzvah because you're already holier. When you do an Avera, you become lower. Once you're lower, it's easier to do another Avera. But as far as level-wise of breaking the Yetzirah that you don't do, what you accomplished is that you trained not to give in to the desires of Nefshabamis, but that doesn't necessarily weaken the desires of Nefshabamis. What you accomplish is you don't give in as much, but the taiva, the essence of the Nefshabamis is still there. And sometimes, as we know, like it's brought down, there's temptations of the youth, and then there's the temptations of the Middle Ages, and there's temptations of the old people. It's different temptations. It's the same Nefesh HaBamis. It's just the temptations go in different directions, that's all. Okay, once again,